the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is a quantum leap, transforming IT from a cost center to a value driver. Our guests for today's show are Don Sharp. He's the Vice President and CIO with Navistar. Good morning, Don. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Very good. Now, we also have Gail Humberg, who's the former CIO with Bally Total Fitness. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. I'm also glad to be here. Thank you.
Great. And all three of us are in Chicago, so we all know what's going on with the snow, but we will somehow get by, right?
That's right.
Awesome. So the first question I have is when a CIO, if they have inherited a mess, is it a good idea, first of all, to walk into a mess? And if at all you are planning to do so, how do you diagnose that this is a battle worth taking on? Don.
Yeah, I think I certainly think people shouldn't be afraid of coming into a turnaround situation. I think it's important that you understand as much as you possibly can what you're getting into, what the magnitude of the problems are. More importantly, is the leadership team of the company you're coming into committed to turning you know, the mess around, if you will, or transforming IT? And, you know, in my personal case, I was very fortunate that I actually had done some consulting work here at Navistar and got to know a bunch of the management team before I stepped in and saw a lot of the challenges that IT faced within the organization. And so I was able to have some pretty frank conversations on with the leadership team about where they really committed to changing and trying to change IT from a cost center perspective to a value driver. So I don't think people should be afraid of that. I personally like that kind of challenge, and I think it's a great opportunity to really drive some impact back to the business. But I think you got to make sure you do your homework up front and that you understand whether the organization's really, really committed to changing. Once you get in there, I think, you know, the first place it starts is trying to understand some of the facts around how IT operates, what's the environment like, as much information you can get, really understanding the financials, what are the cost drivers within your IT organization. So things like how much do you spend on maintenance, keeping the lights on, enhancements, new programs, things like that, to really understand your financials and your cost drivers. So I think trying to collect information, understand what do you have, what are the things you do well, what are the things you don't do so well. And for me, the job one is always about getting your team right and really getting to know and understand your leadership team and determining whether they're the right people to take you to the vision you've laid out. And I think anytime you come into a new situation, you've got people who have been used to operating in a certain way. And probably most of the time, somebody new comes in, they're going to want to do things differently. And everybody's not going to be able to make the transition for whatever reason. And so really getting your team right, understanding whether people share your vision and can do what you need them to do to get you to that vision. To me, that's absolutely critical out of the gate. If you don't have that, everything else you do, you're going to be paddling upstream.
So, Gail, what do you think is what people can take on versus what they should be taking on? One is the diagnostics that you put in place or you try to go through about the organization, and what do you do about yourself? Because not everybody's suited for every challenge.
I think the first thing you have to do is assess whether the organization is ready for change, as Don said. I think there's a couple other things you can look at. Clearly, you've got to have executive management support for making the change. But you also have to look at the overall company organization itself. Is it at a turning point? Is there a burning platform? Maybe there's been a major organizational change like a major acquisition or divestiture that really is driving this change. Then your chances of having the leverage you need, I think, increase dramatically versus maybe sort of a more creeping frustration level, which may not be enough to really get everyone focused on making the change. I think the other thing is where the organization's focus is. will the organization be able to give you not just the money, but the energy to be able to create the change in IT, which always creates changes in the business as well. And I think that's one of the things that also has to be looked at. So those would be some of the questions I would ask as I was going in. But I'm with Don. You know, I don't think that new CIOs should be afraid of a somewhat messy or ambiguous situation. It usually means there's a huge opportunity for an upside and to really make a difference for the company. In terms of what I would do once I got in, I think first and foremost, you have to staunch the bleeding. You know, whatever it is that's the huge point of pain, whether it's a runaway project or an unstable system or a network that can't be relied upon, you have to go in and deal with that immediate issue. At the same time, you have to understand what are the issues that the business has with IT and what are the issues that IT has with IT. And you've got to begin to build trust. And that means delivering on some promises early on and picking some things that can be delivered on fairly quickly to show that, yes, you can lead these types of initiatives and get the trust level up so that you can take on some of the bigger problems.
Now, how different is this situation from, suppose, an individual walks into a tribal area in, say, someplace in South Africa where they don't know you, they don't like you, they don't trust you, they don't know their language, their own language, how they communicate with each other, and they don't know what your language is. What are you trying to ask them? And if that is the case, how do you start the communication? How do you even believe what they're saying or interpret it properly and agree that whatever they're saying is actually accurate for you to build the foundation for your strategy?
Coming in, you always have to assume that there's more than one view of a problem and that there's truth in all of those views, but probably not the complete picture. And so early on in coming into a new situation, I think the challenge is to talk to as many people as possible and to begin to build up an accurate picture of what all of the issues are and what all of the pain is in order to then come up with a strategy of how to fix it.
Yeah, and I think I'd agree wholeheartedly with what Gail said. I mean, the reality is you come into a situation, and I certainly know at Navistar, if you talk to the IT folks, there's a lot of frustrations they have with the organization, with the business units, et cetera. You talk to the business leadership, they have frustrations with IT, don't perceive value, et cetera. And I think you have to really have an open mind. You have to listen really well. You have to be careful not to jump to conclusions or form opinions too quickly, because the reality is the truth is usually in the middle somewhere. And if you come in and you just take a look at, you know, you start looking at some of these facts and you start jumping to conclusions and say, well, that was not a very smart way to do X, Y, Z. The reality is there's usually some history, there's some very good reasons why things happen, and I think it's important to really try to dig beneath the surface and understand how you got to where you were and really try to understand both perspectives, because the reality is usually that they're both true. So I think you have to listen, be very good at listening, you have to be open-minded, and you have to, particularly with the business, figure out how you, you've got to learn their language, you've got to commit the time to really understand their business first and foremost, and then be able to translate how IT can help them achieve their business strategies, their business goals.
If suppose you were not blessed by having a chance to work as a consultant there and have, you know, basically that's what gave you some of the insight before you assumed this role, many other IT leaders may not be as lucky, and they may end up assuming a role which you may be in today. How would you have done things differently than what you did?
You know, I think because I had the advantage of being here and working with a lot of the business people, quite honestly, as well as the IT people, I think I would have had to spend even more time really trying to get out and understand people's perspectives. Like, you know, quite honestly, I spent a lot of time doing that already just because I wanted to make sure that my perceptions and what I thought was true was really true. But I think I would have had to spend even more time doing that. I think the other thing is, I had the advantage of already having relationships with these business executives, And it was through some very challenging projects and work that I had worked on, so I'd built up some level of credibility. So I think I would have had to spend even more time up front with those business people as well to build those personal relationships and, quite honestly, to build the credibility. So I think, I don't know that it would have fundamentally changed, that there would have been a dramatically different direction, but I think I would have had to invest even more time up front in understanding the IT organization and people and their perspectives, as well as building those relationships with the executive team.
What I've found coming in first as a in an IT leadership role at Sears, which eventually developed into a divisional CIO role, and then at Bally, is that you need to negotiate an agreement up front with the top executives of how long you need to do your initial assessment. They would prefer to hear back from you in 10 days. And that's typically not enough to get the full picture that we were talking about earlier. So I found that that's one of the first conversations I have to have. And I'm typically looking for permission to take 60 to 90 days to really do the in-depth dive of both what's going on in IT and what are the issues that the business has with IT before I come back with some initial assessments. But then I think it's absolutely critical that you have to come back in that time frame because you're asking for more time than they originally typically thought they were going to need to give you.
If you were coming in and you are trying to show that I can make a difference, and definitely the Big Bang approach may not work, where you would ask $150 million and turn around the place. So since there's no trust, no money would show up. So, but you would just have to live with the budgets that you have. And the strategy which is usually suggested is that let's try to find some small wins, and that will create trust. What do you do to take an inventory of the kind of changes which you would, in fact, invest in and pulling money somewhere from the budget creatively and show it to them? And they will, that will create. So, how do you determine what is trivial versus what is a small win which will be noticed? But before we get into it, please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about what is small win and what is something trivial that you may have invested in but may not, you know, allow you to reach the target that you wanted. Please stay tuned.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
And here's my cell phone number, the number of the restaurant.
Honey, come on, he'll be fine.
The odds of a babysitter calling 911, 1 in 1,400. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 150. Here are some of the signs. No big smiles or other joyful expressions by 6 months. No back and forth sharing of sounds or facial expressions by 9 months. And no babbling by 12 months. To learn more of the signs, visit autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we are looking at small wins, or what we may call as small wins, but we do not want them to be seen as trivial in the eyes of executive management who we are trying to impress and or establish a trusting relationship with. So what is that fine line which you cross, which converts from a trivial to small win and vice versa? So, Gail, you want to take it?
What I'd like to be in the position is to have a picture of where I want to take IT over the next 3 to 5 years. And that based on that picture, what might even be a small step is a step in the right direction. It's a building block to a larger picture. And if you can begin to create a vision of what IT will look like in the future and show that you can get there in small steps, I find that management begins to see that there is a plan and a direction, and even the smaller projects begin to be more satisfactory versus the projects where 6 months later you're redoing them because you only did them halfway and it wasn't helpful and nobody really liked it. So I think you really want to craft initiatives that feel like they're moving you in the right direction, even if they're a small step.
And when we talk about battles and you know, the small wins, et cetera, what type of battles would you have chosen, Don, so that as part of implementing and or kind of creating that trusting relationship, it is a strategy, and then you're executing that strategy?
Yeah, I think, clearly when you come in, I've been a big believer that, first and foremost, laying out the vision, I think, is not the most challenging part. I think when you come in, you tap into the viewpoints of your IT organization, of your business leaders, I think it's fairly straightforward to be able to pull together a vision of what IT needs to become. The hard part is, how do you get there? And the how you get there really gets into what's the path, what battles do you pick to fight, what are the most important things to select? And I can give you an example here within Navistar that, our company historically has operated as very independent business units. And it's been a model that's helped us grow. It's fostered an entrepreneurial spirit. There's been a lot of real benefits of operating in that way. But the challenge has been, right, that's not an environment that's conducive to enterprise governance. So clearly I'm a big believer in the importance of enterprise governance and trying to take the enterprise view with IT and drive complexity out of our IT environment. So, when I first came in, I took a look at that and I said, we really need to get a governance process in place. But as you start understanding the culture, you start understanding the history and how we've operated in the past, it became very clear to me out of the gate that trying to attack that problem head on and push to implement an enterprise governance process was the wrong answer. That there was a high risk of alienating people, and that, quite honestly, executive leadership wasn't ready for that yet. And so we took a different path. We still want to get, that's still the vision, that's still where we want to get, but we headed down a different path, which is let's put in place a simple, straightforward governance process within the business units, get the business leadership comfortable with that, and how that works and the value around doing something like governance. And then use that as a springboard to raise it up to the enterprise level. So, again, it's about you got to have the vision, but then you have to be flexible to adjust the path of how you get to that vision based on your understanding of the business and the organization's readiness to change.
Gail, what do you think?
I think what you're looking for at all times are, especially early on, are projects or initiatives that you can do successfully. And I would agree with Don that you have to postpone some things that you want to do to a better time, because trying to take everything on early before you have the relationships you need to be successful and before the organization is ready to accept them is not doing your IT organization any favors.
If you get in and you're trying to make things happen, you cannot do that alone. You will definitely put together a team, and you'll try to get the best people. But more importantly, you need allies. You need friends. How do you go about making friends? Because when you're coming in, again, walking into a tribal area and trying to make friends, how easy is that? John?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a challenge. And I think it's got to be, and I think you used the right word. Yeah, there's business relationships, and then there's personal relationships. And obviously, you know, you have to do the business relationships. But I think you have to take it a step beyond that. And you said the word friends. And I think you have to build friendships, and you have to build relationships with people you can trust. And I think you do that, obviously, by investing time in those relationships. And it's not always just about a work meeting. It's about, maybe it's more social things that you do with people, et cetera. But you got to build those personal relationships, and you got to build the trust. And to me, it always starts with, I always have to take the first step. And you do things that show people you're committed to their success, whether that's sharing information with them, for example, that they may not be aware of. Perhaps it's helping them using, influence to help them grow their career, whatever that might be. But showing them that you're, personally committed to their individual success, and that building relationships that's beyond just your business interactions. Because you got to have people you can trust. You got to have people that you can go to and vent when you need to vent, when you're frustrated. You need people that you can go to and get counsel. Personally, I've picked an individual that I have tremendous respect for in our organization on the business side. And I early on asked him to, if he'd be willing to spend some time with me to mentor me and guide me and help coach me. And, I did that, one, because I needed that, I felt, but two, I really wanted to build that personal relationship. And so I think it's absolutely critical, because you got to have friends and you got to have people you can go to when you've got some challenges or struggles, and that you can talk to in a low-risk manner. I've also been very fortunate, and I have to give Navistar a lot of credit for this, in that they actually have an executive coach that they make available to the executive team. So that's another person I've been able to build a strong relationship with that can kind of help you navigate some of the challenges you come across every day. But I do think you nailed it. It's you got to build friendships, real friendships, that aren't just about work.
Gail, what did you do when you turned things around? Did you actually rely on friends?
Well, I think you have to create an environment where you're taken seriously. And that, to me, is my first goal. And that is all about doing things that help people realize that you really are there to help them. To help them as individuals, and to help them in their career and in their organizational issues. And so that can be the willingness to go the extra mile to do something that allows them to succeed in what they're trying to accomplish. And I found that that's probably the most useful approach to beginning to create trust, and to get to the point that you can then talk very seriously about risks and challenges, and be heard about those issues, and not be seen as someone who is just a naysayer and trying to make everything sound more difficult than it is. Because I think that's often the role that a CIO gets placed in. Because a CIO can see across an organization and can see some of the challenges coming. And so you can have a very optimistic executive who's got a great idea but isn't looking at the details that could get in the way of executing that idea. And so you've got to get yourself to a place where that risk discussion, that have you thought about this discussion, will be taken positively.
Now, would you agree that in an organization, most people would have an explicit agenda and an implicit agenda, and whenever they are confronted with a situation or an individual, and they seek help and or support, they'll say, what's in it for me? But when you make friends, you say, okay, what can I do to help them? And at the same time, you cannot make friends with everyone either, because somebody needs to get the job done, and sometimes you have to use the word stick versus just carrot or versus just, you know, emotional support that we can provide or they could provide you. So how do you balance this, especially at that IT leadership level where you have to command respect, but at the same time you cannot be looked as an alien either, that you could trample over everybody else to get the job done? Don.
Yeah, I think that's the tightrope we always have to walk. And, you know, it's, and I'll take Navistar, for example. We have a culture here that is, I would say, very friendly, very respectful of people. And it's a culture that I love because of that. But the reality is sometimes we can be too nice to each other. And so it makes it challenging because, you know, sometimes you do have to use the stick. And I think it, you know, goes back to our previous conversation, which is, you know, you first have to build relationships, you have to build friendships, and you have to pick your battles wisely. And you have to pick, you know, you can't every single time pull out the stick, and you have to choose wisely. And in some cases, you may go the carrot route, or you may let some things happen because the battles aren't the critical ones to fight. So I think it's always that tightrope that you're balancing on. And when you do have to use a stick, you have to do it in the right way. And I think you have to spend the time with people, the people that are receiving the stick, so that they understand. I think you first have to try to get them to the place they need to go. But if they can't, you have to explain to them why you're doing what you're doing, you know, what the reasons are and what the benefits of doing what you're going to do are. So that they understand that you're not doing this just to be, you know, vengeful or to make their lives difficult, but you have some real solid reasons why you're doing it. So I think it's picking your battles and picking the right battles and when you use that stick, and then making sure that people understand why you're doing it. And again, if you have the right relationships and you've built respect in the organization, I think that becomes a lot easier.
So in short, Gail, how would you have defined yourself, if you were to look at you being the IT leader and other folks who may be executive management and or your own crew or other business unit leaders, how would they, in very short, define you or should define you?
Well, hopefully you're defining yourself and you are able to sell and present that to others. I think, you know, the most effective CIOs are ones that can convince other executives that they're in fact a colleague and a senior executive, that they understand the business and its fundamentals and how it works and what the overall risks to the business are. If you're not perceived as understanding that, then you really get pushed into a corner where all you can do is technical types of responses. That to me is the challenge, to be seen as an executive.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at, fine, we will have a situation where we are walking into, say, some sort of a mess and we are trying to do a cleanup. But now that you reach a point where you have cleaned up, I think the tough part is ahead, where you have to start making your IT organization into something which contributes towards top-line growth as well. Of course, bottom-line savings is a given. That's what we have been doing with IT for some time, but top-line growth. When you have other challenges anyways, how do you go about making IT profitable or making that as a profit center? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
The
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
And the pitch. Dave just pitched a tomato, which won't work. But a healthy, vegetable-filled diet could give you energy to hit that grand slam. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Go inside the world of PR with PR Insider, hosted by public relations expert Maureen Kettis. Maureen will speak to the world's highest profile PR pros from the fields of marketing, advertising, and sales. And PR Insider will feature renowned members of the media as special guests. Maureen will give you a VIP access pass, including tips and tricks to take your business to the next level. PR Insider with Maureen Kettis, sponsored by Cision, us.cision.com. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, fine, we went ahead and did some cleanup when we came into the mess. And now is the time when we actually make a difference by converting IT into a profit center, or at least contributing significantly towards top-line growth, and all along making sure, of course, the bottom-line savings are also provided. Is that something which is, relatively easy when other things were fine, in the sense you did not have an issue with management not trusting you, et cetera, or the challenges are still the same? Don?
Yeah, I think, let me maybe take a step back. When I think about IT, there's kind of two big things that I believe any IT organization needs to do, right? Table stakes is you got to run your IT organization, as well or better than any other business unit. So that really gets at managing your organization well, really managing your cost structure well, understanding your cost structure, driving out costs in the right way, constantly looking for new ways to do things better. And to me, that's table stakes. It's what any leader of a business unit is expected to do, and you have to do that well. Once you get to the point where you've built that credibility and people see this continuous improvement and every year driving costs out and really running a tight business unit, I think that's an absolute requirement for being able to take the next step and start taking a look at the value side of the equation. And we talked a lot before about picking your battles and what are the right things to select. And I think that depending on your company, this making a jump to IT being viewed as, I think of it as IT being viewed as an asset instead of a cost, can be very hard to do. But the foundation is running your business unit well and managing your cost structure well. And then I think it's a matter of really getting the right leadership, the right team in place that have the ability to understand the business, understand the strategies of the business, and then really identify some of the key opportunities for IT to drive bottom-line impact, whether that be in the form of revenue generation, cost takeout, et cetera. And I think it's if you're in the position where you haven't been viewed as an asset and you've been viewed as a cost center, that it starts with picking, and I don't even know if they have to be small, but picking a few high-value opportunities that the business unit leadership agrees really will have a meaningful impact to their business, picking a small number of those and executing them very, very well. And I know at least here at Navistar, you can put together the best PowerPoint slides possible and walk people through those many, many times, but at the end of the day, people understand best when they see and feel success. and they see tangible business results. And so I think it's when you're in an environment where people haven't viewed IT as a value driver, it's you got to pick those right opportunities, make sure that those opportunities, if successfully delivered, really deliver value in the eyes of the business unit leadership, and then making darn sure you execute on those.
Gail, how would you define these right opportunities, and what do you think people who are in the same situation or similar situation, what mistakes that may be making, which is preventing them, and then it is just causing frustration for all parties involved?
I think that if IT has historically been in a position that it wasn't trusted and it wasn't seen as an organization that could deliver, even if you begin to run IT effectively on a day-to-day basis, it still may not occur to the executives to ask for help when they are trying to deliver against some major business initiatives, whether it be top-line growth, cost reductions, et cetera. So in that transition from IT being sort of a commodity to IT being value, you really need a CIO who can identify opportunities and can articulate how IT contributes to the business challenges that the executives are struggling with every day. And then I also agree with Don, is you've got to pick some and deliver against them absolutely impeccably in order to get the credibility to be able to do it again. But if you sit back and wait for someone to ask you to participate and ask for your ideas, you may not get that opportunity. I think you have to be a bit more assertive once you feel that your organization is ready to deliver.
But do you think any CIO who has voluntarily come into a situation like this would be of the type who would wait?
There are many people, I mean, CIOs and other executives who wait to be asked, who take what I call it's the taking orders versus really being a partner type of role. And I think any executive could fall into that, but the really successful CIOs are the ones who bring ideas from elsewhere, maybe from their past, from other industries, from working with vendors, and say, I have this idea that can really make a difference for that initiative that you're trying to move forward. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you how this could work. That is really how I think the most successful CIOs work.
Now, is it too cocky for a CIO to go and talk to the executive management this way? If I don't deliver, fire me, but allow me the flexibility that I would be able to make some decisions, and I will inform you, and I'll keep you informed, basically. But let me do what I want to do. Don't tie my hands behind my back and allow and then hope that I can work miracles. Is that too much of a maverick CIO? Don?
Yeah, I think there's truth in part of what you said, and part of that gets at, I think, you know, upfront conversations and setting expectations. You know, you have to have the freedom and ability to do what you need to do to be successful. But, you know, a lot of times I've read a lot of articles about when you come on as a CIO and, you know, the company has to be willing to invest big dollars. And, you know, I fundamentally disagree with that approach. And I think that you got to have the freedom, but at the same time you have a very big responsibility that everything you do you need to be able to justify, and I think of it in terms of a business case, but the cost benefit of what you're doing. You know, so you need to give me some rope to be able to you know, think outside the box and do some innovative things and some new things. But I also have to be accountable. I can't just go do whatever I want to do, right? I still have to work within the confines of how the business operates, and I still have a responsibility to be able to justify the return on what I'm doing. And if I can't do it, then I shouldn't be doing it. So I think what you said is very accurate, but I think you just can't take it to the extreme and do whatever you want to do, that you still have to be held accountable for making sure what you're doing is going to deliver the right returns.
So, Gail, how would you have phrased your conditions of being able to bring about change?
Well, I think that you do need to put your personal accountability and reputation on the line if you want to convince people to give you the opportunity to take on a challenge that might be outside of IT's typical comfort zone. But I don't think you can ever just say, let me do this and fire me if I'm not successful, because there are always implications to the business. You've used up resources. You may risk other aspects of the business. And so this is never just a personal risk. It's anytime you take on a major initiative with IT delivery as part of it, then you are taking on risk for the organization. And so you need to be sure that you've got all of the pieces in place, and it's not just, a personal risk type scenario.
So how do you somehow justify and or convince the people who you're trying to convince that you do have, and your crew and everybody involved does have skin in the game, and this is not just a lip service? Don, what do you think?
Well, I think one is you gotta show them that you're invested in their business, right, and that, if you don't spend the time to really understand their business, understand what they're trying to do, understand the challenges that they're facing, you're not going to have credibility with them. That, you're just going to be somebody on the sidelines who's not making the commitment to them, whether they view it personally or as their overall organization. So I think you've got to invest in them and invest in their business. The other thing, though, I go back to, at some level, you have to build the trust, and we talked a lot about relationships, and that helps build trust. But the absolute critical thing is you got to deliver. Those early opportunities that you identify, keep them few and make sure you deliver on them, because that's what builds ultimately the credibility that you're going to do that you'll deliver on what you say you're going to do. And in some cases, that can even be in today's world, for example, right, where everybody's has a strong cost-cutting focus with the economy and everything else. So it's living up to your responsibility and delivering on, in today's world, the cost-cutting objectives that everybody else has to achieve as well. So it can even be something as simple as that, but you've got to deliver on those early opportunities, because that's ultimately what's going to give you the most credibility.
Gail, you suppose are in a situation where you made the commitments, you got a couple of wins, but then something or the other happens. It could be an environmental change, M&A, or something or other happens which disrupts the things, or you hit a wall. Who do you go to for help?
Well, I guess my view is there's very few organizations where that type of disruption doesn't happen all the time. And so you've got to expect that in the next 6, 9, 12 months, things are going to change. And so your personal support system has always got to be there for you to help you think through that next change. And you always have to be thinking toward the future and what is the next thing that's going to hit. If you get too wrapped up in delivering the current initiative, you can really get knocked up the side of the head because you miss the next challenge that's coming upon the company and upon IT. So I think it's all about...
Go ahead.
I think it's all about being ready for the next change and willing to support business wherever it needs to be.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and continue on this conversation where we are trying to do what best we can do. And as Gail mentioned, that there should be a personal support system, and we should be always on a vigil that, yes, the next challenge that is going to come, and that is another challenge that we have to beat and meet some of the expectations of executive management. What do we do when we do hit a wall and... We don't see a way out? That's something which is experienced by many people, but they don't have a ready answer. So let's discuss more.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
All right, Gail, just continuing our conversation. You are trying to change or turn around an organization, and things are going well, but there are disruptions. And then you come across this new challenge, which makes, you know, where you hit against the wall and don't know where to go. And we do have to create that personal support system. So that, what do? We go out in the evening to a bar or to a Starbucks and start discussing with our personal friends. What does a CIO would do?
Well, I think, you know, CIOs have different approaches, but I've always tried to keep a very active network of colleagues, of other CIOs and former CIOs. I include in that network trusted vendors who I believe are good at thinking through potential solutions for new situations. And I try especially to make sure I have contacts in other industries, because I find there's so much to be learned and applied from another industry that can be much more successful than recreating the wheel completely within your own industry. So I try always to have a certain percentage of my time where I get out and talk to other people in the field and really get recharged by their energy and their ideas.
Don't in this day and age, when, as we were discussing during the break, you know, things could change at a moment's notice, how long-sighted and or short-sighted, how myopic you should remain so that you eye on the ball, you get the things done, you get the small wins going, and somehow make sure that even though there is disruption, but you got what you wanted to get done.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, and I agree completely with what Gail was saying, that you know, change is part of the game, and you have to assume it's going to be there, and you have to be ready for it. And I think what's key is you got to have the strategy, you got to have the vision laid out, and that's the longer term vision. And then you have to be adaptable and flexible enough that if significant changes in your business, maybe it's an acquisition, maybe it's the current economic crisis, that you have to be able to reassess that vision. Have any of those, you know, have those events fundamentally change that vision and strategy, and then update and change it and redo your roadmap, et cetera. But quite honestly, in a lot of cases, I find at least that these events don't really change your vision or your long-term strategy. It goes back to what I said earlier. It just may alter the path you're on. So I know in our own case here, we've been focused a lot on transformation and how do we shift IT from a cost center to a value driver. And clearly the economic crisis and an intense focus on cost cutting or cost optimization, you know, has come to the forefront in the last several months. But when I look at that, it doesn't fundamentally change our strategy and our vision. And quite honestly, a lot of the strategy and vision is only further validated by the current economic crisis. But you have to be flexible and really take a hard look and understand, well, how does it change? In our case, it's probably going to, in some cases, slow down some of the strategic things that we wanted to do. And it's going to require us to be smarter on the investments we make. But it's not going to fundamentally alter the strategy or vision. So I guess in summary, it's you got to have the vision. You got to constantly look at it and assess whether changes in the business or the economic environment cause a change to that strategy or vision, but in most cases, it's probably going to be more an adjustment to the path you'll follow to get to that vision.
And I also think it's important to have colleagues in the business that you're comfortable asking questions about the implications of these changes and what they might mean to even some of the details of what IT is trying to do, especially in economically turbulent times. A company can change its emphasis from being capital-starved to cash-starved very quickly. And if you're not on top of those financial issues and what's happening, you know, your assumptions on a lease versus buy decision could be just completely wrong, and you could spend a lot of time on negotiating a contract when the financial pros and cons have changed in the interim, and you can get a good idea rejected just because you didn't understand the basic financials of the company and where it's going. So I think that a CIO always has to be on top of what does the current economic situation mean for how the company's being evaluated, what their cash flow is, and what their capital situation is.
And I think just one more point, and I think Gail brings up a great point, is I think it reinforces the importance of the CIO having a seat at the executive table. I've been very fortunate here in that I report to the CEO. I'm part of our executive leadership team. And I think, Gail's point, it reinforces the importance of really being part of that executive management team, really understand what's going on with the business, so that you can adapt your strategy, adapt your roadmap or your plan, so that you're not caught unaware of fundamental changes in the business.
Now, with all this fast-paced environment that you guys live in, what does happen to your crew, which is actually making things happen in the trenches? How are you keeping them aligned all along with all the disruptions, with all the quick maneuvers that you make at the top? They have to follow through. Gail.
Well, you need to keep people motivated. Realize that there's a wide variety of types of people on your team, and the appropriate motivation for each individual is different. There are some people who want security. There are some people who want raw dollars. There are people who are looking for praise, other people who are looking for titles. You know, you've got to look at what you've got available to you in a given situation. How can you use those tools or those arrows in your quiver to motivate your most valuable players and to keep their focus and eye on the ball and keep them recharged and with the energy that they need to do. And that's one of the hardest jobs as a leader, is to stay on top of that, in particular in stressful and difficult times.
John?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything Gail said, and I think there's a couple things is that, you know, certainly within Navistar, right, we're introducing a tremendous amount of change to the organization. You throw the economic times on top of that, and it's just an incredible amount of change, and it's very difficult on our people, and it flies in the face of what our historic culture has been. So there's a lot of stress on our people, unquestionably, in today's world. And quite honestly, we're going to be continuously changing, so it's going to be there for a while. So part of it is changing culture, and that obviously doesn't happen overnight. But I think couple of the key things, in addition to what Gail said, that we found is, first and foremost, communication. And we've spent a lot of time improving communications both outside of IT, but more importantly, within IT. So communicating what's going on, trying to be open and honest about changes we're driving in the organization, and giving people the opportunity to talk to our leadership team, whether that's, you know, brown bag lunches or monthly breakfast meetings we have where we give people an opportunity to ask me questions, ask our leadership team questions, express concerns, et cetera. I write a blog, not as often as I should, but it allows people, I can share thoughts, it allows people to ask questions back, et cetera. So really trying to focus on communications and keeping the communication lines open, both communications downward and communications flowing back up. And I think the other thing is, you know, investing in your people. And it's something I'm a firm believer in, we've spent a lot of time and energy on, is really doing the things to help people advance their careers and develop themselves. So spend a lot of time focusing on performance management and make sure that we're doing a better job and helping guide people on their how they're performing today, what their career opportunities are, et cetera.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, John and Gail, for sharing your thoughts about how an organization can actually transform IT from being considered as only a cost center and not delivering value to something which turns out to be a value driver. Now, with IT, now the very fabric for most businesses, it should not remain a cost center, as we already saw. We talk about business and IT alignment. However, for that, we have to think like a business. That is, what do I do today that will contribute towards top-line growth and bottom-line savings? And just thinking is not enough. As we know, we have to make that happen. And think about business stakeholders as your customers. What did it take for your customers to start trusting you? Setting just right and reasonable expectations, and thereafter consistent delivery over and over to their satisfaction is what got you there. Can you not do the same with your IT? Are you actually trying this? What challenges are you facing? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.